This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We have, I think he's the chef's chef. He is a non-celebrity chef. He is ferociously talented. He has worked with absolutely everybody of note. A very clever young man. He's at Fato, part of the Grand Van Handel Group down at Riverside. Is it Riverside Terrace?
Yeah.
At the back of Hamer Hall, you hear that very deep, yeah, yeah. We'll speak to him in just a minute. His name is James Cormorow. We are also going to speak to Georgie at Georgie's Harvest very shortly. She has a fantastic stall at the South Melbourne Market, dispensing very fine vegetables, potatoes and turmeric and all of those things that you know you want to buy but you can't find. Georgie's has them. She is a delight, and she'll be joining us on the phone shortly to talk about the Markets of Melbourne Awards, of which there are 12 categories that you can vote in. You can, in fact, win yourself a $200 market shopping voucher. There are 12 of them to be won, so listen up for that very shortly as we talk all things Markets of Melbourne and their awards. And of course, we love to support our markets much more than we would like to support supermarkets. Firstly, I should say welcome, James.
Thank you so much
from
Fato.
You've had an extraordinary career, and the more that I read about you, the more I find that, oh, you've worked with him, oh, you've worked with him, oh, you've worked there, oh, you worked with Rosa Mitchell. How have you created these opportunities to land these cool jobs with these cool people, or did they, perchance by luck, just happen?
I think I've just been really lucky. I've met a lot of amazing people along the way, and they've just helped introduce me to other people who may be able to work with, have an opportunity with them, and also working with people that you get along with, and it's just easy and things flow. And
given you're stuck in a reasonably small space, it's hot, there are sharp knives, and you're probably chafing like a son of a by the end of the day, I assume you want to be around people that you actually like and not around people that you want to stab, because it could be a homicidal sort of environment.
They are long days.
Yes, they are. Where did you start? Let's talk about day one. What made you decide you wanted to be a chef? Where did that inspiration come from?
I'd finished school, and I was spending a little bit of time break after high school. Mm-hmm. I was just living by myself.
Gap years, I believe we call it in this day and age.
Yeah, just living by myself and had to look after myself.
So where was your family?
Interestingly enough, they'd moved overseas, and I was house sitting.
Right, at the tender age of 17?
19. Yeah, it was a good.
I suppose 19. You're old enough to drive and vote.
Yeah,
and drink,
exactly. Yeah,
trash
exactly.
The house.
No, it was a really good opportunity, and I think, just looking after myself, I enjoyed cooking and just pursued it.
So there wasn't a grandmother or an aunt or a dad or somebody?
No, not at all. It's very, very humble food in our house. Quite fussy eaters as well. Very simple eaters.
Yep.
A lot of foods I didn't try until I was in my 20s, and it just snowballed.
And you decided that cooking was the game. So you started at Phoenix?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you decided to go and spend a bit of time with the very gorgeous little Rosa Mitchell.
Yeah.
Who is beautiful.
Yeah, she was fantastic. So we were at Journal Canteen.
Yep.
In the early days, we were doing maybe 8 or 10 people for lunch, and it just exploded. We were doing over 100 people for lunch by the end of it.
And what's she like to work with? I've known Rosa for a long time. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah, incredible.
And very generous with her knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's from the complete other side of the spectrum, where food is in her culture, and she was brought up, and it's very deeply rooted in her. And she taught me that. I took a lot from her.
I think that's one thing that we miss, certainly growing up in and I'm not talking about this particular generation, but my generation and you know, probably yours to a small degree. I grew up in country Victoria. My mother was a shocking cook. My father didn't care as long as there was some food. Mm. So that sort of sense of growing up in a white, you know, skip lower class family, it was you talked about humble food. It was very simple food, and it was always very, very poorly done.
Mm. Mm.
And if you make a comparison to somebody from a Middle Eastern or a Mediterranean culture, where it is such a part of life, and I think that's where this generation is very lucky.
Yeah, absolutely. Where I'm also from country Victoria, and
where'd you grow up?
In Sale, in Gippsland.
And right in Sale, or
yeah,
excellent.
And my grandfather was a dairy farmer down there.
Okay, a lot of those.
Yeah,
a lot of them.
And yeah, we baked beans on toast.
Mm.
Mum's chow mein.
Oh yeah, which was probably like mine: mincemeat, rice, chicken noodle soup, and cabbage.
Yeah,
yeah,
tin of pineapple.
There is another one. Oh, my God. My mother would open... I have this ongoing... It's an ongoing gag with a number of people about my mother's use of a tin of crushed pineapple. And nobody would believe my mother would put a tin of crushed pineapple in most things.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm
it's
so
very
glad,
exotic.
So glad your mother did that as well. That is fantastic. That gives me some joy.
Joy 94.9.
We're talking with James Cumro from Fatto, which is part of the Banhandle Group, and they're at Riverside Terrace at the back of Hamer Hall, just on the riverside. It's a gorgeous place to go and have something to eat. And also joining us now is a woman that should need no introduction. She is from Georgie's Harvest at the South Melbourne Market. She's a delightful young woman. Georgie, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pete. How are you?
I'm well, and you?
Very, very well. Very busy here at South Melbourne Market, so we're all going really good.
Excellent, excellent. What's in season that we should be buying now?
We've got the beetroot are absolutely amazing.
Excellent.
I think the lambs at various butchers we've got here are just literally running out of the door, and we're getting like 10 and 12 hours slow cooked lamb roast, so they're very,
yum,
very popular.
Yes.
In this weather.
And
there's some beautiful potatoes, lots of little chats and lots of purple, pinks and yellows. So we're going pretty good.
You have very cool potatoes.
We do.
And is turmeric in season still or not?
Absolutely. So we've got a beautiful range of turmeric. It's all really nicely sized. And, we're getting it fresh every week. And it's really moving quite well. And the uptake of it has been really quite impressive. So lots of people are really enjoying it.
Excellent. And truffles?
Oh, truffles are absolutely fantastic. We have two suppliers of truffles this year. So we have some from Western Australia, and we've also got our traditional supplier from Apollo Bay, from the Otways.
The very lovely Steve Earle.
The very lovely Steve Earle. So yes, he has his truffles as well this year. So, the truffles have started very, very beautifully.
And they're good truffles?
They really are. They're nice black and white in colour and really good pungent smell.
James, are you a truffle fan?
Absolutely.
Oh, I better turn your mic on. Yes, absolutely, I believe was the answer. Like, yeah. I love truffles.
The, my thing this year with truffles that I've been doing a lot of is melting butter and then shaving the truffle into the butter and just heating the truffle very lightly and then stirring that through some potatoes or stirring that through the... And the aroma of it is really, really impressive. And so if you bought a smaller piece, you can sort of extend the use of it because you can make that whole dish just smell of this beautiful, warm truffle.
You had me at butter, you realise.
yes. My other diet-friendly option is you get a little wheel of Camembert cheese,
Slice
like a sponge cake, And then just put a layer of truffle, close it and warm it in the oven. It's absolutely awesome, and you can get like a $15 piece, can do a very quite large party that way.
Right. If people would need to know more, they need to come and get these recipes from you at Georgie's Harvest.
Absolutely. Or bring your recipe and we can, you know, help you out.
Excellent. Which street do you face? So if people are looking for you?
We're on Coventry Street.
Yep. Excellent.
So we're on the outside of the market. So we've got the beautiful strip of restaurants here at South Melbourne Market.
Mm.
And so we're just around the corner.
Excellent. Yes. Now, Second year of the Markets of Melbourne.
Yes. Very exciting. Yes.
It is very exciting because I know that you get very much behind this each year. Sorry, I didn't introduce you to James, by the way. Georgie, James, Georgie.
Hi, Georgie.
Listen to his deep voice. It's got a beautiful timbre.
Beautiful.
James is the chef at the new head chef at Fatto.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah, have you been there?
No, I must say I haven't yet.
Well, go and check it out. Food's magnificent.
Not yet.
Have the gnocchi with the rabbit. It's superb.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
Which would go well with a bit of truffle.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
I think there should be truffle.
What potato do you use for your gnocchi?
Sorry?
What potato do you use in your gnocchi?
We're using Royal Blues at the moment.
Ah, oh, very, very.
Such a good all-round
nice
spud.
Potato. It is a very beautiful spud. Nice, shiny purple flesh, skin and nice yellow flesh. Absolutely. Very versatile as well.
Georgie's very knowledgeable about the spuds.
It's very important.
Serious about my spuds, but yes.
Very serious.
The whole market is actually buzzing about Market Week and markets of Melbourne. It's all very, very exciting, and we've had a huge uptake, and lots of storeholders are getting behind it, and you can see how to vote cards at every single stall.
Excellent.
And everyone's asking for your vote, and, you know, the customers are very excited to show us, you know, to show support to the different stalls. And so,
indeed.
No, it's been really exciting this year.
Let's talk about Market Week. So it happens September 6 to 14, which is an annual celebration of all things market. And when we talk the markets, we are talking South Melbourne, Dandenong, Prahran and Queen Vic.
Absolutely.
So the four markets. Oh, excuse me. And there are now 12 categories this year to vote in, and they include poultry and game, fruit and veggies, meat, deli, specialty, seafood, coffee, merchandise, eateries, nursery and flowers, fashion and accessories, and services, which I think I read twice. But anywho, so people can go into any of those four markets. To any of those, to any of the stalls within those markets, and vote for their favourite in each of those categories, with the opportunity to win a $200 market shopping voucher. That's a lot of potatoes they'd be buying in your store.
It is. So every category, we're all fighting in each of our categories. Like, we're all out there asking for it. Like, in services, we've got our great massage people and our brow bar. So, you know, they've got their paperwork out there, and they're asking for people's votes. So it's fantastic.
Excellent. Apart from your own store, have you got a favourite stall in the South Melbourne market that you have to visit every week when you're there?
Yes. I was going to say, unfortunately, many. So it depends if we're talking cupcakes, it depends if we're talking cheese. And then if we're talking your cold meats, then I get a bit confused because I'm not sure if I'm going to go to Emerald Hill Deli or if I'm going to go to the Polish Deli or if we're going to Vangelis or Theo's. And each one of them has, like, something even more special than the other.
Mm.
So that's really, really fantastic. Like, the deli range is great. And then, obviously, the meat, you've got Kirkpatrick's, which produce their own lambs. And so they've just got some beautiful roast lambs. And then Ralph's have this, you know, great selection of all the other meats. If you need a drink after work, you head down to Claypot's Evening Star.
You do head down to Claypot's. You get very well looked after there too. Hey, what about if you are at in need of coffee?
I love the coffee here at South Melbourne Market.
Yes.
I think it's great.
Oh, you are so bloody diplomatic, Georgie. You're no fun whatsoever. I'm trying to lead you astray.
No, you can't lead me on the coffee one. I think that there's... you're spoiled for choice here in South Melbourne.
You
are
spoiled for
choice. I don't think I can make a comment on that one.
Very good.
You're genuinely spoiled for choice, and it's a conversation I have with lots of my customers about where are you going for coffee, and we call it first world problems. So,
well, it is a first world problem.
Yeah.
Hey, when does voting close on the Markets of Melbourne Awards?
It's the end of the month. So we've
31 July.
2 weeks left, yeah.
Yes.
31 July. So, we've got 2 weeks to get all of our voting done, and then we're really encouraging a lot of people to get online and vote as well.
So, they would need to go to marketsofmelbourne.com.au. Excellent.
Yeah, and so then you pick which market you want to vote in,
mm-hmm.
and then there's a drop-down box in each section. And so if you go, you know, for example, under general merchandise, here at South Melbourne Market we have Bakelite, we have the Pet Grocer, and so there's all the different ones, and you just click on it. It only takes a couple of minutes, and... just to let you know, us storeholders really want your vote.
I can assume that you can also vote for multiple markets. You're not limited to just the one market.
No, you can vote at all of them, especially online. At the market, you can only vote for the market you're standing in.
Yep.
But if you go online, you can vote for all of them. So, you know, then you're heading down to Victoria Market and you've got such beautiful, for example, coffee options there as well. So, and I'm sure that everyone's really actively seeking your vote. So
somebody has actually sent us a text, Georgie, saying, what about the Preston market? It's far more variety than Dandenong. That's from Kim. Unfortunately, Kim, we're talking about the Markets of Melbourne, which is a body, a parent body for Dandenong, South Melbourne, Pran and Queen Vic. So we don't discourage you from going to Preston because it is indeed a great market. But for these awards, that's the four markets. Georgie, good to talk to you as always, my dear.
Thank you.
I'll swing by for some spuds if I've got time this afternoon. And again, if people want to find you, they can find you on the Coventry Street
side. George's Harvest, South Melbourne Market. Come down. We've got some truffles, some potatoes, some beautiful onions, and it's just a great market to have a walk around. So, yeah, come on down and vote for us whilst you're here.
And, of course, you need a dim sim while you're there. It's not a trip to South Melbourne Market without a dim sim. Georgie, thank you.
I must say I am often spotted in that queue.
Yes.
There's a reason why they're as popular as they are.
Yeah, and if you need a hangover cure, there is nothing greater.
It does kind of work. It does, Pete.
Indeed.
It does.
All right, good to talk to you, darling. Thank you so much. Cheers. My pleasure.
Bye.
That's Market to Melbourne. Voting closes 31st of July, so do get down to any of your favourite markets of those four, Dandenong, South Melbourne, Pran or Queen Vic, and put in your votes for what you think are the favourite categories and do stick ahead in and say hello to Georgie and Michael at Georgie's Harvest. They are good folk.
Joy 94.9.
And James Comrow is in the studio with me. We were just talking to Georgie at Georgie's Harvest all about the Markets of Melbourne Awards. She's hilarious.
She was great.
She's good fun. Now, back to you, because we didn't get very far. We sort of got waylaid with other people and other things. So where did we get to? Rosa Mitchell and Journal. Then you moved to Church Street in a Tekka, earning it its first chef's hat.
Well, we were there when that happened, yeah.
Yes. Who's we? So do you work as a team?
Yeah, working for Ron O'Brien was head chef at the time.
I know Ron. Yeah. He's got the vine in Collingwood. He's a good bloke, Ron.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he was good.
He's good people.
Yeah.
You know everyone. You've worked with everyone. It's crazy. and then, of
it's
course...
a small industry.
Well, it is. And then off to Britain.
Mm. Yeah, so. Did the typical thing, went overseas, make the most of the UK visa before turning 30.
Yeah, which is... I think many of us did that. So you worked for the Tate Modern, Tate Britain, and Somerset House...
Yeah.
Is that people speak it then? Somerset.
Yeah.
Somerset.
Big functions.
And then off to the French Alps, cooking in private chalets.
Yeah.
You've had the dream job of so many young chefs. I'm sure there's people listening going, God, I want that job. Oh, I want that job. Oh, I want that job.
It was so fantastic over in France, and I was lucky to cook with a couple of other guys that worked at Phoenix beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
We all met at Phoenix, and... while we were over there, we used to do the seasons, and so we'd go up to the Alps and five months in the Alps. And
it's a hard life.
Cooking, snowboarding.
And doing functions for the Holmes Accord family.
Mm. Yeah, big presence up there.
Mm. Well, they've plenty of money.
Mm.
And then off to work with Philip Howard, who is very highly respected by many who know food at the Square.
Mm.
What did you learn from each of these people? So as you've sort of gone through each of these kitchens and taken on these roles with some of these incredible chefs, I mean, do you pick up different bits and pieces from each of them, or are you already well-formed?
Absolutely. Yeah, never stop learning. It's incredible. Just when you think that you're starting to get on top of things and you know what you're doing, along comes someone else from a completely different training, from a completely different background, and... it just opens up a whole new world.
Well, that probably brings us to the next part of our discussion. James Cumrow is your guest here on Cravings on Joy 94.9. If Ray Capaldi is listening, he could please call the station 1300 569 949 so we can talk to him about Scottish food and food from Glasgow that we'll be enjoying over the coming few weeks with the Commonwealth Games on our doorstep. It brings me back to sort of getting into influences and things. You had, I think, the pleasure to work with a young man who's highly esteemed by everybody in this industry in Melbourne, Dan Hunter, formerly of the Royal Mail. So that's where you did. How many years did you do there with him?
Just under 2 years.
Good guy, huh?
Incredible.
And for those that don't know Dan, he worked with Andoni Adruiz at Mugaritz in Spain. He was the head chef, I think, for Andoni for some time.
Absolutely, yeah.
How much do you take of Andoni via Dan that you build into what you do now?
It was really interesting working for Dan and having the opportunity to see him. I worked with him when he first got back from Spain and then some years later, and watching Dan's style really develop and become something so unique to what he's doing now. It's still watching it evolve, it's incredible.
So now he's at Bray and doing the same thing, which is, I guess he's probably got a little less restriction on what he's doing now than what he did at the Royal Mail. Mm. Things have changed at the Royal Mail a bit, though, haven't they?
Mm.
So Robin Wickham's now in charge. Do you know Robin?
I met him when he was at Interlude.
Mm. Yeah. Another good chef, another good
guy. Absolutely. Mm. Had an incredible meal there.
Yeah, so now a la carte bistro menu and the restaurant's 5 and 8 course degustations are now available to all guests across the entire dining space, which is a bit of a change, which makes it a bit more accessible.
Mm.
What was your favourite thing about the Royal Mail?
Well, it was my favourite and my least favourite at the same time was the isolation.
Yeah.
It was difficult being away from the city and from family and friends.
And it's a good 3.5 hours. Well, for those that don't know, it's down on, the southwest near Dunkeld. Well, it's in Dunkeld, near Hamilton in Victoria, southwest.
Yeah.
It is isolated.
Mm. It was difficult in that point, but at the same time, there was no distractions.
Mm.
And
allows you to concentrate on your craft.
Yeah. just there to cook and get amongst it.
Obviously there was a reasonable sized team of people working in that kitchen. Did you form your own little sort of community and rely on one another?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I'm still very close with a lot of the people I worked with there. Who have since returned to Melbourne. We're very close there.
I think if you're working in that sort of close quarters and you're socializing with those people, because you know, you can't just go to work and go home. You've got to, obviously you've got your own family life and stuff, but there's stuff you would be doing with those people that you work with that would be give you an opportunity, I suppose, more so than the city, to form a relationship of some description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, we relied on each other really heavily.
Mm.
It's it wasn't always glamorous lifestyle, so
it really is for chefs
during the difficult days.
Unless you're George Columbaris, but that's probably an entirely different discussion. We love George. Now Alan and Maria Myers, who own the Royal Mail, I think my favourite thing about the Royal Mail, having been there a couple of times, is running across the highway to the cellar. The most incredibly stocked cellar I've seen anywhere.
Mm.
An extraordinary wine cellar, but it is quite literally in a building across the highway.
Mm.
So one has to run across the highway the sommelier needs to run across the highway to grab your bottle of wine.
Yeah, we had our dry stores in the cellar and also a walk-in freezer. So there was many times dodging B-doubles on their way to Adelaide or from Adelaide to Melbourne, dodging B-doubles trying to carry a bag of flour or something like that.
Yes, and it's an extraordinary experience. People should get up there and support regional Victoria. We certainly encourage that. So they've Alan and Maria Myers, who own the property, have now opened their gates to hotel guests for a complimentary guided Myers residence private garden tours. Those gardens are extraordinary.
It's phenomenal.
And I know Dan did a lot of work in creating kitchen gardens and things there as well that I'm sure that you all took great use of.
Mm.
So from the Royal Mail, you're now at... So you joined Fatto as a sous chef?
Yeah, that's right. Just recently, as of this year, stepped into the head chef role.
Yep. Well, I was about to get to the fact that you had the head chef. Who were you cooking with? Who was the chef before you?
Nick Bennett.
That's right, yes. Now, where's Nick gone?
They're working on a project which opens soon.
Right.
There's not too much out about it at the moment.
Okay, so it's one of those things under the cone of silence.
Mm.
Great deal of secrecy, of skullduggery and things. obviously, the Van Handel's got a bit going on at the minute.
Absolutely. It's been a big year.
Mm. So the Stoke House in St Kilda, Anthony said he's well on the way to coming to fruition.
Mm.
And Stoke House City's just opened?
Yeah, that's right.
In what used to be Com?
Yeah, on Alfred Place, just off Collins Street.
Have you had an opportunity to eat there?
I have.
And?
It's very good.
Yes?
the guys do an incredible job down there.
Mm. Is Ollie in chefing there?
Yeah,
in
he the is. Meantime? Upstairs and Nick downstairs.
Excellent.
Basically the same format as what they were doing.
At Stoke. Yeah. Mm. And, of course, there's Stoke House Brisbane. What else is part of the group?
Mr. Tolk.
That's right.
Just at the library there.
Yep.
And
there's another one, I'm sure. Look at me flying through bits of paper to see if I can find it. Anywho, so let's talk about the cuisine at Fatto. It's Italian. Is that fair to say? It's an
absolutely
Italian bar and cantina.
Yeah, casual Italian.
How much of Rosa Mitchell was in your menu?
A lot of influence, absolutely.
Because she's sort of that person that, like I said, she's very generous with her knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. Working at a couple of different Italian restaurants, obviously, I'm not Italian, but I'm quite passionate about the food.
Oh, you can pass for Italian.
So it's just, I just really enjoy it. It's something, I enjoy eating it, I enjoy cooking it.
It's wholesome. There's a sense of warmth when you eat good Italian food.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not a warmth as in I feel warm now. It's that sort of inner.
Very satisfying.
It is satisfying, and it's an interesting experience to eat something that is. It's not necessarily stick to your ribs, but it's. I don't know, there's generations and generations of love and knowledge in those dishes, I think. I'm not quite sure the descriptors I'm trying to come up with, but it is a very fun, very exciting, very enjoyable cuisine, and I imagine it's great to work with.
Yeah, definitely. And Anthony's been great. His influence in the kitchen has been invaluable.
And he's Italian.
Yeah, he's Sicilian heritage. So I've spent a lot of time with him working on the menu to reference those flavour profiles and seasonings the way that he knows them, so we can translate it to a nice casual style.
And not a bad office to work out of either, just quietly. Yeah. Overlooking the river and across the river to
a beautiful view.
To the city. It is a stunning view. And it's a great place to go and have something to eat.
Yep. I enjoy eating there on my days off.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's quite bizarre.
Yeah.
Your wife lets you out? Or your partner, I should say. Assumption she's your wife.
Last time we were there, we were eating on Sunday lunch on the terrace, just watching the world go by.
There's nothing wrong with that. How do you balance your work with having twin girls?
It's non-stop. It's just get on with it. There's no choice.
Because they're only 10 months old, so I imagine they're starting to get a little sprightly.
Absolutely.
And a little vocal.
I thought I didn't sleep much when I was working a lot of hours training.
Yes.
And now it's just back
Between
to that.
Between babies, they'll just break you. Italian food's actually really good for when you need a bit of a recovery food, isn't it?
Absolutely. A few carbs.
Yeah, well, carbs are always good. Clearly, I'm fond of a carb. I was reading a bit more about your cooking philosophy, and I wanted to talk a little bit about produce, because I know that your menu is very driven by what is available to you. And you used to pick stuff out of your grandma's garden?
Yeah, I think that was my first exposure to fresh food.
What did she grow?
Straight out of the ground. I remember picking the beetroots. First time I'd ever seen a beetroot.
Well, we grew up thinking beetroot was from Golden Circle and came in a can, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, up until that point.
Yes, that went with the the tin pineapple, I thought. So that's where your understanding of fresh produce came from.
Yeah, I think it's very easy to write a menu when you consider that the food that you want to use, it's seasonal. The menu writes itself. The core ingredients are those that are available to you and not necessarily grown in hothouses all year round.
And then covered in wax and sit in a fridge for 6 months. That makes me cross.
They look nice, but...
They do. Do you have access to a garden yourself? Do you grow stuff?
We have a very small garden at home. We try to be a bit creative.
We have to be with small gardens.
Yeah, with the space. It's always changing, which is nice. Get outside as much as possible, get a bit of dirt under the fingernails.
And it's good when you've got kids to show them where food actually comes from.
Yeah, definitely.
That they get an understanding. And I think the MasterChef phenomenon that I talk about almost every week in one way or another has educated people about food and produce far more than I think any of the other programs could have. Do you subscribe to that theory that MasterChef has been a good thing?
I do. It's definitely helped the industry. With everything, there's upsides and downsides, but at the end of the day, it's increased people's awareness of where the food comes from and why the food is growing and when it's growing. And
why seasonal is good.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you're going to get the best out of food, then it's important to know where it comes from. And do you form good relationships with growers directly?
Mm. Yeah, we try very hard to. Mm. It's to be in contact with someone that is the grower, the farmer, it's invaluable. What you'll learn, I guess the first thing is what you'll learn, and then secondary, the produce itself.
And I guess you also learn what the farmer's good at, because not every farmer is good at growing everything.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's, I think, when we were talking to Georgie earlier from Georgie's Harvest, and she talked about some of the different, like, she uses different potato suppliers that she stocks, that she trumpets their success and she trumpets their knowledge, because that's, you know, that's why they're good at what they do. So that's why shopping at markets is so much more important than shopping at supermarkets.
Absolutely. Mm. Direct from the farmer is best.
And farmers markets, they're everywhere. There's 9 farmers markets on in and around Melbourne today.
It's so good.
It's great. Yeah, it's that so people good. Can go and, you know, meet the people that grow the beef or grow the avocados or grow the pigs or whatever it might be. You know, there's incredible produce that I didn't know existed just up on the Murray River. You know, where there's rice grown in the very southern part of New South Wales, just along the border of the Murray, organic rice, which is absolutely impeccable.
Nice.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful rice. It's good to work with. So we do, and I guess the microclimates that run across Victoria give us, well, across Australia, but particularly here, give us a constant supply of produce that is good.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. We're quite lucky that there are those different climates through the different areas of the country and provide us with such a broad range of fruits and vegetables, herbs.
Having grown up on the Murray River, in country Victoria, it's great to you know, to see what's still growing. It's quite sad to go back to my old hometown and see where they have just mown down rows and rows and rows of grapevines and citrus trees and that sort of thing, because they just couldn't sell the fruit. It's absolutely heartbreaking that we have farmers in those positions. And these aren't first generation farmers. These are farmers who are fifth and sixth generation farmers who, you know, all of a sudden working for the water board.
Yep.
In a corporate role, and have taken all of their land and just flattened it because they just can't sell fruit. It's a disgrace, and yet we're importing oranges from California and Argentina. It's obscene. That's why farmers markets are important. I shouldn't be ranting, but if we are talking about produce, James, some stuff going on now at Fato. So this is what we call the plug bit. Aperitivo hour, which happens from 5 till 7 p.m. every day.
Yep.
So basically, that's happy hour with very delicious aperitifs. So if you're a Campari or a Negroni fan, it's 5 till 7, go and sit by the river, watch the world go by. Sunday Festa della Famiglia, which is obviously the family feast. 2 or 3 courses?
Yeah, choice of 2 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
We try to change the roast up each week.
Yep.
Porchetta or a roast beef or... slow braised beef rib.
Yum. So it's a good place to go and have that sort of Sunday.
Stuff. Yeah. Get lots of sharing on trays, gelati, bomboloni.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You're sure to leave Fato, which is a colloquial term for stuffed.
Mm.
Well, that's a good way to leave. Website?
Fato.com.au.
And if people want to know where you are, in the River Terrace Hamer Hall, so on the back of the Arts Centre, they call it St Kilda Road, but I think it's actually more just it's Riverside.
It is.
Just opposite Flinders Street Station. James, thank you for joining us and talking about Fato and indeed your extraordinary career and those people you've worked with and continued success with the Van Handel Group.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always a pleasure. Great. And thank you, I must say, for the little box of cannoli that we'll eat on the way home in the car.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.